Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above for today, November 10th. Can't believe it. We're 10 days into November. Tomorrow, oh my goodness, there goes my camera. Interesting. I should have adjusted it beforehand. I hope everybody's having a good day so far. We moved out of some of the energy of yesterday that was a little bit tricky at times, but also extraordinary yesterday in terms of being able to catch new ideas, to see things in different ways, and of course, to get some work done, which was what the moon in Virgo helps us to do. And today we also have the moon in Virgo. So I want to talk about the transits that the moon is making today to planets like Neptune, the sun, and Jupiter, Pluto. And then I also want to talk about the biggest news of the day, which is that Mercury today moves back into Scorpio now that he's in forward motion. And what does that mean for all of us for the next few weeks? And then as well, I want to make sure before we leave the Human Design Week that we're in, that I get an opportunity to share with you the wisdom stories or the wisdom keeper stories from Rosie Aronson's book, The Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook. They're fascinating stories, of course, and I love the oracle cards that go along with it. And then yesterday, I think I totally skipped out telling you anything about the Pleiadian Earth energy. So today we'll want to talk about that because we've reached almost the end of this week's spiral of consciousness. So we need to understand where we've been, what it all means, and where we're going. So not a terrible lot for us to talk about today, but some good things, I would imagine. So first, let me take and say good morning to people out there. Hopefully you're checking in and seeing us. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel and Jennifer Peachy. Loanne, hello. Camilla, morning, everybody. Afternoon here in Brazil. Great to be with you all. It's great to have you with us as well. Amanda J, hello. And Asa, there you are, my friend. Good to see you out there. Christine Buckingham checking in. Good morning. And Corey, good morning. So as more of you check in, I'm going to start talking about the moon. And Asa, if you have any questions, of course, please feel free to text me. Or if there are questions out there, please feel free to text me. So I'm going to start today with a couple of announcements. One, tomorrow is Veterans Day, November 11th. I am still here in the morning, and I will also be on air. I think it's 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, so 8:30 p.m. East Coast time, on Angel Heart Radio with Anaya and Carol Ann. We're going to be completing our chat about the solar plexus mutation. We started this back in, I guess it was early October or maybe even September. September, yes. And this will be our fourth installment where we take a look at sort of the deconstruction of the chart, if you will, and start to put it back together in what will be the new way that human design, that your human design looks after we get to 2027. And it's not so much that your own personal human design is changing because yours was set at your birth, but that the souls coming into the planet after 2027 will look completely different from the charts of the people that are currently on the planet. You'll still be affected by the solar plexus mutation, but not in the same way. For you, it might be a little more difficult to work through these energies than it is for the souls that will be born from 2027 on. So we'll be talking more about that tomorrow. And the way to tune into that is to just go to the Angel Heart Radio Facebook page. We broadcast live directly to that page. And again, I believe it's 5:30 because it's 11:30 their time in the morning. So then also later this week, Friday, we'll have Pia and Colin again with us. And they're joining us on what I think is the most auspicious day, November 13th, Friday the 13th. And what I thought we would cover is the energies of the sacred number 13. And she's written an entire book about that, Sacred Retreat or Sacred Cycles, I believe it's called. And you can get a hold of that book on Kindle. And that might be the only way you can do it. I don't know if it can come to you in time. But it is a fascinating book and a fascinating look at how it is that we moved out of the sacred number 13 and the idea of natural cycles into a world burdened by trying to be something that we're not, and how it has affected each one of us in how we live our lives, how we've treated the planet, and how we've treated one another. Interesting, right? So they'll be with us on Friday. I want you to start thinking now ahead to, let's see, I think it was December 16th, a Wednesday, where next, just a month away from now, where we are going to take a look through 2021. And I'm just giving you that heads up now that that's a day to circle on your calendar. You'll want to know what's coming up for 2021, particularly since 2020 gave us sort of that ragdoll feeling. And I don't know that 2021 is going to be better, but it will be different. Let's just say that. And the possibility is that we have the power to make it what we want to be, what we want it to be. So I want to give you the heads up as to what that looks like. All right, end of the announcements. Let's chat about the moon in Virgo today. It is a moon that is very practical and organized, gets down to business, right? Is very good at seeing the details in something as opposed to the bigger, wider picture. Sometimes the problem with Virgo is it gets too deep into the details. It forgets to come up for air, step back to see that bigger picture and how all the pieces are fitting, and then go back into the details again. So we have to work through that while the moon is in Virgo. And today, the moon in Virgo is making three different aspect or transits to other planets. One is in opposition to Neptune in Pisces. Virgo and Pisces make up that one, that axis across from one another. So when we look at one sign, we're also having to remember that there's a sign opposite of it that is drawing in energy as well, or where energy is being drawn into our experiences of the day. When we have an opposition with a planet in the opposite sign, it becomes very clear that there are two signs in effect. So we're going to talk about that. There's also a sextile to the sun. Sextile is a 60 degree relationship between the planets, and it sort of comports an ease of they speak the same language, or if they speak a different language, they each understand the other's language. It's like being bilingual, right? So if you come across a Hispanic person and you know Spanish and they can speak in Spanish, then you can understand them and speak back, and they can also understand English, then they can understand and speak back to you as well. So there's this common language, if you will, that the planets are talking, and that means the moon and the sun, our emotional self and our outer world self, our personality, our ego selves are in a good relationship with one another today. Hallelujah. And then there's also a trine between the moon and Pluto and Jupiter today. So all in all, with the exception of the opposition with Neptune, the energies of the day seem pretty good, right? They seem to be working well. So let's break it down a little bit. The opposition to Neptune, anytime you hear me say the word Neptune, you should automatically think not clear, right? That there's a fogginess, there's a little bit of a webbing in front of our eyes where we can't quite see clearly. We maybe aren't hearing clearly. The words aren't clear. And we begin with this aspect fairly early in the day today. And in that, then we have to be very careful for foggy thinking. Your mind may wander off to daydreamy land when you're behind the wheel of the car. And then, oops, I didn't see that that light turned red and I need to slam on my brakes. So we need to work today to keep a little bit more focus, and as well to stay grounded, right? To be in your body and be in the now, because it's real easy with this kind of an energy to get kind of pulled off into some kind of la-la land. As well today, information coming in may also be at the effect of some of that fogginess or some of that disclarity. And so you want to make sure that any information that you take in that you intend on taking action from is totally checked and rechecked before you share it. And that goes especially for social medias, where we hear news of something and then we share it only to find out later, egg on our face because it wasn't true. or it was only partially true. So today, be very careful about what you're sharing, what information you're passing on, because again, this is information that's coming in and it doesn't quite have the clarity in order for us to see it clearly and understand its true placement. So we have to balance. We have to balance the practical, what we want to do with energies versus that more imaginative and creative energy, the more idealistic versus the more realistic. So today those two are kind of pulling apart from one another. And it's not that it's a negative transit, really. I mean, it's a powerful transit because it's pulling us in two different directions. You know, Virgo, really very much earthy, down to earth kind of practical energy, but Neptune and Pisces, very spiritual, very inspirational, very much out there in the spiritual or etheric world. So we might have to work even harder to try to balance both of those, right? Okay. The sextile to the sun is really great for us to be able to release our attachment to how we think things should happen, right? To things that are happening, to the way you think things should happen, and the attachment that we always seem to have about it happening our way, in our timing, when we want it and how we want it, etc. Where the sun energizes opportunities in this case that are a perfect fit for us if we'd only get out of the way, right? So we have to learn today on a day like this to go with that flow, that the energies between the sun and the moon are conjuring up for us the perfect things, right? The perfect magical fit in a very mystical way. And if we get out of the way, then we can expect more, better, easier than what we might have been able to create on our own if we'd insisted through attachment that things happen this way and when I want it. So I hope that's understandable, because in this particular instance, these two are talking really good together. We want something like this on working on our behalf to bring us the right opportunities with the right people in the right timing, right? That's what this is all about. Now the trines today to Jupiter and Pluto, and somewhat late in the night and into tomorrow, there will also be a trine to Saturn. Saturn also in Capricorn. So the trine is between these two earth signs, Virgo and Capricorn. Virgo, more mutable earth, Capricorn initiating or cardinal earth. Initiating meaning beginning something, right? Changing up, climbing up, moving. With the trine to Jupiter, it is definitely giving us a more positive and optimistic outlook, as if we're easier to sail on into a more positive way of being, a positive way of looking at the world, seeing potential and not the negative potential. See the good around you. So this is a day for us to really tap in with gratitude to what we see around us that is good, that is right, and is extraordinary, right? Tap into the extraordinary today. The trine to Pluto gives us a sense of confidence, being self-assured, and a feeling that all will be well. And that's not the usual energy with Pluto, is it, right? Pluto often brings us into that darkest space. Well, we're going to get to that darker space for sure here with the other energies of the day. But that's going to be a longer term kind of thing that what's working, that's working on us. But today's energy is that self-assured, confident feeling. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know what I want. And I'm open to moving in that direction. So that's our Pluto today in a trine to the moon. Now, the moon will turn into the void later this evening, actually tomorrow morning very early, which is why I'm bringing it up now, because we'll all be asleep, maybe, at least on the West Coast, 2:59 a.m. tomorrow morning until 8:10 tomorrow morning. So if you are on the East Coast, that means 5:59 a.m. to 11:10 a.m. Just after we get on air here tomorrow morning, the void will break and the moon will move into Libra. That'll change up the energies in some dramatic ways and also in some really good ways. Now, Let's see, any questions? I didn't check. I thought I saw this jump. Nope, no questions. Aha. Comments. Let me say good morning to other people who've joined us. Let's see, Asa, Kathleen Mallory, good morning to you. Joy to the world at Pauline Blenner at Aquarian Spirit and all of us. J-Lo, thank you. Camilla, you forgot to add me to your something or another. I don't know what that's all about. I love it that you guys have these conversations. Good morning, Pauline. You're not that late, so perfect. Anyway, so Corey, good things always happening to me on Friday the 13th. Everyone else is sort of scared of it for no good reason, I might add, for a false reason, I might add. So we are going to be able to work through some of that, right, for everybody on Friday. I love that. Okay, now let's take a look at the big news of the day, which is, of course, Mercury's move back into Scorpio. Now that Mercury is direct, he's beginning to pick up speed, right? And he had retrograded backwards through, he had gone forward to about 11 degrees of Scorpio, then retrograded backwards all the way back to 25 degrees of Libra. So since going direct last week, last Tuesday, he's now moved upward through the 5 degrees, the last 5 degrees of Libra, and now moving into Scorpio. And let's see, had that happened yet? Because I think it's a noonish today. Mercury, where are you? Because I drew this chart up. He was still at 29 degrees of Libra this morning when I drew up the chart. So it'll be a little bit later on this afternoon. You might even, if you're aware of subtle energies, you may even note at the moment he does that change. Mercury is moving into Scorpio, where he will stay until December 1st. So hard to believe that's really only about 3 weeks away. And then Mercury will then end up in the sign of Sagittarius, again, changing up the energy of our mind and of our communication and of the type of information that we are all sharing with one another. Mercury in Scorpio is about keeping secrets or not, right? We always have both ends, keeping the secret or not keeping the secret, or is it secrets exposed, right? This is the energy that dregs up the deep, dark things, the things that we've hoped were buried. That might mean we're dealing with different fears that are suddenly, or shadow energies that are suddenly up front in front of us. Remember, Mercury is still transiting through the gates of the spleen on your human design, triggering us to look at those shadows and those fearful places. So those secrets may come up. Now, I'm going to encourage you all to not push it down and push it away. I want you to look at it and embrace it and get the bigger picture of what it is that is the meaning behind these fears that are coming up for you. What are you afraid of, right? What are you afraid of? Someone's going to take your toys away from you. You're not going to be able to speak your mind. You're not going to be able to have the job you want. You're going to fail. What are those things that are driving these fears? Because only when we turn and we face them, those shadows, those fears, those feelings, that are, can we bring light to them, right? Otherwise, they lie in hiding. Mercury moving through Scorpio is going to bring them up to the light, the whole purpose, right? Mercury is in the shadow of his retrograde cycle until November 19th. So he is moving forward through territory that he already retrograded through. So it probably isn't anything new that might come up, maybe just the next level of the fear that you'd been holding on to. Maybe it is a deeper level. Maybe you're going in deeper. Maybe you're finally in the ability, in the possibility of releasing, of embracing, whatever it is. These next few days, at least 9 days now, we are doing the re-rees, right? We're going back over places, re-experiencing things, but at a different level, perhaps, right? As we are moving up our spiral of consciousness. Mercury in Scorpio uncovers truth. It exposes lies and deception, both from our own self, but also from other people. In the outer world, we're likely to hear a lot about things that are being exposed, things that we didn't know about, or things that we should have known about that we somehow were duped into ignoring. So we may have a lot of stuff coming up. So expect the news to have that more slightly negative spin as some of these not so nice things come up. but it does give us this opportunity to be investigative, to really focus and look for what's hidden from our eyes or from our sight, what's hiding in your motivations, what's hiding in the reasons why you're doing something you're doing. And is it a reason to keep doing it, to keep being that way? Or is it a call for you to make a change, right? To dance a different dance, to be a different person in the world. It brings up what's been buried in your mind. So there's a hint sometimes of nostalgia that comes up when Mercury first moves into a new direction and into a new sign, where we might be remembering things from the past. Maybe it is something that has been buried in your mind that you didn't want to deal with, and it comes up again and you're like, wow, where did that come from? So be careful about that, but be willing to see it for what it's worth and to interact with it on a more response-able position, from a more response-able position, and not reacting to those fears or those thoughts or those old patterns as they come up. And we'll have to watch for obsessive thinking, because that's a problem, because the co-rulers of the sign of Scorpio are Pluto and Mars. Mars still in retrograde up until Friday. So we may be hearing, it's really kind of interesting now that I think about this, because this morning I was looking at the possibility of working with with a new client. And I was having a difficult time deciding whether I wanted to take this client on, mostly because of the person being caught up in the past and retelling the story in two different emails from this person. I got the stories, right? The stories of the life, the things that have happened, and wanting to look at those stories. And of course, that's not the work I do. I do that in coaching. I do that in a bigger way when I'm working more deeply with someone. But for a first contact, that wasn't the part that I really wanted to work with. So I was looking out for that particular thing. And I saw the obsession this person had with these patterns and the way she illuminated each one of them. And when I went back to the first email that I received, it was the same, almost the same wording with that emotional impact in there. And I got some clarity while I was doing this, that I really don't want to work with people that are so caught up in the past. I want to work with people who are ready to let go, to move on, to move forward. There are counselors out there, psychologists out there that work with people who are digging into those fears. I want to help you see how to live without those fears, right? To move forward by living your own truth. So it was just an interesting thing for me to see. And is that my truth? Is that really my truth? Or do I want to take that on and help people wade through that darkness? I'm not sure yet. I still haven't kind of gotten to that final truth. But it does seem to me that if you want an astrology reading or you want a human design reading, what you're looking for is your truth and not how you've lived your past, right? The truth of who you are. So just interesting things as we dig in, as things come to our attention that draw us into living from shadow or living from light, looking for hidden motivations again in what you are doing and how you're doing what you're doing and what it is that your desires are. And then Pluto, of course, as a ruler of Scorpio, helping us to transform with every thought that we have about who we are and what we want to do and who we want to be, how we want to show up, then we are more and more living our truth. That would be the high side of Mercury in Scorpio. Or on the other hand, we can live out in those shadows and those conspiracy theories and the dark places. And we can keep bringing that up and keep living in that rather than living in the light by transforming those things into this is what we desire. This is who we want to be. This is how we want to show up in the world. So we have work to do. We have work to do over the next few weeks. And that's a really good work to do to clear out the darkness, to clear out the dark spaces before the planet Mercury gets into Sagittarius, where then we get to look at the light again, the light through the lens of the capital T truth and through the lens of freedom. So, whoa, that's kind of heavy, feels a little heavy, but it also feels a little bit freeing when you think about getting through the darkest places, right? And being willing and able to look at them and release them or to move forward. Hey, Sadie. Nice to see you there. I've had to start putting a new blanket on the bed where she usually lays because one, I have allergies to her and she's lying on my side of the bed. And two, because it's chilly and she's getting older now. And I've noticed that, you know, she just seems to look cold. So I gave her another blanket to cuddle up with. That's just me being, you know, projecting out my cold onto her. All right. So questions, Asa, anybody saying anything out there that I need to be aware of? Go ahead and let me know that. In the meantime, I'm going to go to the Wisdom Keepers and I want to read to you the stories of the cards for the Gate 1 and the Gate 2, especially because today's our last day to work through those energies as tomorrow we shift into genius energy, breakthrough energy. So tomorrow is a profound day in terms of the gate, but I don't want to miss the highly creative and energized creativity in the gates one and gates two. So here is the card for gate one. In the gift, it is called freshness. Doesn't she have like a fresh, bright face? I love it, right? I love it. I love it. And gosh, are those... Oh. Little hearts and circles there that they reminded me of four leaf clovers at first, and hearts on her throat chakra. Looks like a sand dollar or a lotus flower, perhaps on her forehead. We'll see. Let's read this. So the gift in the gate one is freshness. The shadow is entropy and the highest expression is beauty. And it says the genius of freshness is to bring something new to the world that no one has ever seen before. People say I was born with a big smile on my face, but as I grew up, I'd suddenly feel sad and depressed without warning, and it scared me. I wanted that low feeling to go away, so I tried to get rid of it. I avoided it, judged it, tried to cathart it, then to fix it. I even tried to predict it and got pretty good at explaining it, but I still couldn't control it. The gloom came whenever it felt like coming, never asking for my permission. For a while, I managed to push the pain away by keeping myself nice and busy. I frenetically filled my calendar and my life with people and activities, but eventually I burned out from all of that busyness. There were days, weeks, and even months I couldn't get out of bed. I felt numb, like my life was deteriorating and taken over by entropy. I was convinced something was terribly wrong with my feelings and with me for having them. And I was certain that my sadness was keeping me from creating the life I knew I wanted to have. One day, out of pure desperation, I gave up on judging and fighting the melancholy, and the strangest thing happened. It just went away in its own sweet time, like a cloud floating by as if it were the most natural thing in the world. And then, to my delight, my creativity peaked out like the sun. Now I allow myself plenty of alone time to simply be. I see my low moments as natural parts of life. I embrace them fully without overanalyzing. The less hard I work at it, the more I find joy and aliveness rising up from within me, as well as a natural desire to express that joy in a creative way. I now trust that it is actually healthy for me to burst forth with freshness and enthusiasm when joy appears, and then to withdraw and enjoy my solitude when my creative rumblings pull me inward. I have the best impact that way. My gift to you. When I look at you and you're feeling down, I know that nothing is innately wrong. Your wise body is recharging and something deep and creative is growing in your beautiful belly. Please do not worry if you don't have a clue about what's being born. Just do your best to trust and allow for your feelings and take a little me time. Soon enough, you will feel renewed and ready to burst out into the world with freshness and a new perspective. The more you learn how to embrace your sadness with open arms, the more energized people will feel when they are around you. They will see the light and the fire in your soul. Remember, the aliveness and beauty you see in me are in you too. Your joy is more resilient and contagious than you can even imagine, and its timing is perfect. So embrace where you are and trust that your bright light will always appear just when it can have its most inspiring impact. Questions for contemplation. Do you often find yourself judging, overanalyzing, or trying to get rid of certain feelings? How does this impact your body? Which of your feelings do you need to push away the most because of its heaviness? Find a way to give yourself total permission to have and express this feeling today. Write about it in your journal. Share about it with someone you trust. Listen to a song or watch a movie that captures it. Make a simple feeling collage. Whatever you do, give it space and see what happens. And what simple act would bring more beauty into your life today? Nice, right? So this is the gate one. This is where the sun is sitting at the moment. And next will be the earth at the gate two. So as we were talking about earlier in the week, or maybe it was late last week, the sun at the gate one is in the most yang gate. It is the gate that pushes outward, right? That is more extroverted and is creative and self-expressive. So that's the focus that we've had since late last week when the sun moved into that gate. Now the earth throws up the challenge for us to be able to do that. And what is it that we need in order to live out the high side of the gate one? We need orientation. Gate two, right? So the gift in the gate two is orientation, where the shadow of this gate is dislocation and the city is unity, right? Coming into oneness. Look at that face. Love, love, love that face. All right. Now let's read about this. As you come more into contact with your unity, with your unity with all creatures, you also witness an enhancement in your own uniqueness, particularly through your creative process. Here's the wisdom story. As a child, the trees were my friend and the animals were my family. To my people, everything was connected and pulsing with life. But then my family moved to a world of straight lines and tiny boxes. I felt different, cut off and dislocated. Every turn I took seemed wrong. So I discarded my indigenous roots and started collecting human friends, money, and knowledge. I even dabbled in Western religions until I chose modern science as my god. My life became structured, ordered, and regimented. On the surface, I laughed at my parents' chaotic, irrational ways. But underneath, I felt helpless, out of sync, and full of self-doubt. At night, I had recurring nightmares of humanity self-destructing. At one point, I felt so lost, I considered ending my life. But then my grandmother passed away. The following night, she came to me in a dream and said, "Every time you reject your roots, my sweet boy, you not only reject me and our family, but the entire cosmos." That dream did something to me, something powerful. The very next day, I found myself planning a trip back to Australia. It would be the first time I visited since our family moved away. The moment I got off the plane, a flood of old feelings rushed through me. It was as if the land entered my bloodstream and my body remembered how it felt to trust, surrender, and let go. Ironically, it was also in that moment that I realized that there was nothing I needed to do, nowhere I needed to go in order to end the sense of lostness and emptiness that had ruled my life. Simply becoming aware of the longings underneath was enough to reorient and renew me with a surge of unexpected creativity. Now I know in my whole body that I belong, no matter where I am, and that I have something wonderfully unique to contribute. Even in the busy city, the trees are my friends and everything around me is a part of the beautiful symphony where I am playing a unique and essential instrument. My gift to you, I come to bring you the gift of orientation. When you look into my eyes, allow me to remind you of the deepest truth that we are all one. You and I may look different from each other, but deep down we are the same. Care less about what others think of you and more about how you are a natural part of the whole. Open yourself up to a path of synchronicity as you surrender into my eyes. Don't think too much. Allow the certainty within me that we are all connected to a single unity, that all things happen in the exact right timing, to reassure you that there is no way for you to be outside of the stream of life. It is simply not possible. Questions for contemplation. Are you feeling lost, alone, or out of sync? Or are you constantly trying to control, define, or regiment your life? When did you last feel a sense of unity, like you were in the flow and connected to all of life? Where were you? Who were you with? Find a simple way to reconnect with that feeling today. Spend time in nature. Sing, dance, or laugh with others. Go to a favorite place and take it all in. Ah, love those stories. Love those stories. All right, so I thought I saw Ace. Everyone is, love it, love it, love it. Okay, great, thanks, Asa. So now let's take a look at the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. This is important energy today because for one, we're reaching the end of our 13-day spiral of consciousness. Not quite yet, but we're at a very subtle point of understanding where we're having to look back a bit at the days that we've been working with in this spiral of consciousness and bring them to a new understanding. Today's day is 12 being, and the 12 is a day for us to see how everything that's happened fits together and how it is all connected to our spiral of evolving consciousness. So it's integration time, right? Today is a good day to take a look and understand how all the pieces fit together. Remember back, let's see if I can tell you what the date was where we began this. It was actually October 30th. We began the new spiral of consciousness at one devoting, and devoting energy in the Mayan calendar was dog. So it asked us to reevaluate our loyalties. Who are we loyal to and why? What are we loyal to? And what is it that is would make it more heart-centered, right? What would bring us together instead of splitting us apart? So that was our umbrella energy for that this particular spiral of consciousness. So today we've reached the 12 with a new understanding, perhaps, about how we are all interconnected and that the time is now for us to elevate our understanding of unity and how we are meant to be drawn together in mutual support and not using division and polarization to tear us apart. So it is all about unity, not separation. This is a time, a day for self-renewal and in order to prepare for what comes next, right? We're starting to draw all the parallels and to see all of the connections, bring them together. And in that, the past and the future fade away to the beautiful now, right? Where we're living in this moment. Now, the energy of being is the first energy, right? In the Mayan calendar, it was Emish, which was the representation of the crocodile or the alligator. It was about birth, the birth and the very creative energies that burst forth with the energy of being. So it is a very creative day, but we may still feel the struggle, right? The struggle that we have to maintain security, to hold on to the past. You know, you just sort of can feel this digging in, trying to hold on to everything that's been instead of moving into the new or into a new way of being together, beingness, not doingness. So we may still be feeling the struggle. We may still be security oriented or in some way searching for stability. And then we find out that that only comes when we can see our connection as one big family, right? Where all parts are valued and all parts are cared for rather than the hierarchical form, which is, you know, you could name it many different things, right? Where that in each selective, if you started at the bottom, there's, you know, the weakest perhaps It could be the poorest, perhaps, and every other level rests on the backs of the weakest in a hierarchical model, where we need to flip that, right, and begin a new model of how we are all going to be together in synarchy, in togetherness, in unity, right? Recognizing in unity that we are not losing our individuality. We don't lose our individuality in unity. We stay who we are and we still love who we are. And we're just adding that love energy of who we are to the whole and valuing who you are in that whole and valuing each and every other person in that. So it's a really interesting energy. It's very initiating energy. It's a bit impulsive. It's the impulse to create, right? To bust out, to let life bust out, bust in, bust out, bust over, and to, you know, let it spring forth in renewal and in a new way. So we have a really interesting opportunity today to really understand where we've been, to understand where we are, and to maybe even look a little bit forward and understand where we are going, at least from an energetic way. This is energy, by the way. Being or Emish was very family-oriented energy. It is about taking care of the children, nurturing. It's a very nurturing energy. It reminds me of a little bit of Cancer energy in the regular zodiac, because it's got that level of care, that level of nurturing, but also that level of needing security and stability to be able to continue the creative energies. All right. Well, that is it for me today. Anybody have any questions or anything that they want to talk about? Questions about, I don't care. We can go into anything if you want to. J-Lo says, OMG, I love that story. It sounds exactly where I am now in my journey. I love that. Mimi says, I smile as I have gates one in earth and two the sun. So a bit different, kind of reversed exactly. And yet similar, these are the design columns, life purpose. So I did something fun yesterday. You're welcome, Kathleen. Corey loved this one, right? When we need to, always is a good reminder. So I did something yesterday and I haven't quite figured out if this is something I can do on air with everybody, but it was fun. And it was eye opening. So I took a simple piece of paper, right? I got to go back to Zoom so I can show you the paper. Little piece of paper, just like so, right? And what I did on the paper, I don't even know where this came from. And I did share this with Asa. So Asa's also gone through this process and she can tell you how awesome or not it was. But for me, it was extremely eye opening. And what I did was, I don't even remember now, Asa, how did I start on that? I think it began because I was looking at 2021, starting my business planning, you know, for the next year, trying to determine what direction I go, you know, where I'm moving. And I'm often receiving input from friends and from clients and from other people, all kinds of people that I work with, from my family and so forth, about who I should be, right, in the world. And I have a friend who thinks that I should be, you know, a millionaire by now with all of my gifts. I have another friend who thinks that I'm doing just perfectly right where I am and that things are happening in their right and perfect way. I have, you know, different. So anyway, when I sit down to plan for the next year, it's always hard for me because I'm like, okay, I'm comparing myself from where I am now, where I've been over the last few years, right? Watching as a business person, where is my business going? And then seeing where is it that I want it to go? And I thought in a process of doing that, perhaps there was a branding word or words that I could look at. And it just so happened, one of you wonderful followers out there, who's also a client of mine, sent me a beautiful email on Friday after working together. And it just opened up something in me about who I am, about what it is that I do. She called it transmission. That did you know that you are entering into a transmission? Every time you speak, that you're transmitting. And I took that to mean, so I wrote that first, right? I was thinking about that. So that was the first word I wrote, transmission. And then I started thinking about, well, where's that in my human design? Of course, I've got to find it, right? So then I went through all of the new languaging in human design, in quantum human design by Karen Curry Parker. And I started pulling out the different words that were from my incarnation cross, right? So the conscious sun, the conscious earth, the unconscious sun, the unconscious earth. Then I went into the moon and I did the same, conscious and unconscious. Then I went into my north node. And that's because I'm over 40, I'm pushing into the north node. So I didn't need that south node piece anymore. And then I was noting where there were repeat patterns, right? Where there were repeat gates, where of an emphasis, right? So I'm looking at that emphasis. And it was amazing because what it did for me in a way that hasn't happened before is I got to see how many themes, how many repeats of the same theme there are in my human design. And from the mystical and the magical, which I've always been sort of captivated by, to the idea that I speak, but I'm channeling, which I call channel. I'm channeling the potential for you to transform your life. I'm shape-shifting in a way. There was that one, that word came out, not from that, but just something else that was in this branding archetype that I had taken. A super consciousness conductor, that came out too. That's also part of the transmission. Devoted teacher and mentor. So all of these things came out. Now I had to test it. So I give Asa the job. Asa, I'm so glad she's game for my experiments. So I made her do this, but I also did it for her too, but I didn't let her know what it was. But I snapped a picture of it this morning and sent it to her. So I'm going to let her share out there, if she's out there still, what her experience was. She's saying, aha, it was an amazing process. It helped me see in bullet points a map of who I am. It should be who I am, not who I should be, but who you are. And she said, I even printed my themes out so I can look at it daily. Oh, that's a really good idea. So on one hand, I want to be on hand to be able to help people through this, right? To be able to help you do this process for yourself. For one, I have the verbiage, right? I have all of the words. But it also requires an openness on your part to see yourself in a different way, to elevate your thinking, to open up yourself to what more am I? Who am I really? And to be willing and able to take that in and then to make the agreement that that's what I'm going to live from, right? So now I'm taking my words, right? I'm taking my template here. And it's going to be there on my wall. You can't see, but over there is my mind map for 2021. It's going to be there so that everything that I do from now on is going to be in alignment with what I see here in my own human design, right? That things, words, these weren't even my own words. These were things that I pulled out. And if it, healing was another thing that was in there. That's an interesting word to throw in there. But there was a part of that that's also in my experience as a gate 25 in my conscious line, unconscious sun. And I want everybody to remember something. The black column of numbers is your soul purpose, right? That's part of the design. That's part of your crystalline self, the soul crystal. And it's meant to be applied outward into living out your life purpose, which is the red side. So probably one of the most important exercises for each of you to do is to look at the conscious sun and conscious earth, the black column sun and earth, as your soul purpose, and then look at your design sun and your design earth as your life purpose, and where are you headed? So thanks, Asa. So it's Kathleen says, sometimes I feel so dreamy. It feels difficult to hear and to track with everything. Well, that's okay, but you're still picking it up on a subconscious level. That's your, That's your logical mind, Kathleen, trying to put everything in its right and perfect order. But often these kinds of energies are delivered to us in a way that upsets that logic, because logic is not the only way for us to know information. There's a knowing circuit, right? There's a knowingness that we can have. There is an intuitive or an instinctual way for us to know. And then there is also the logic, the recognition of a pattern that repeats itself. So I thought I would take a volunteer, and I have to have your permission to share. I also have to have access to your human design. And I'm not going to go into it as deeply as I did for my own, because in the interest of time, but also because I don't want to take that opportunity away from you to learn more about yourself. And voila, blank piece of paper. So Asa, pick me someone out there who is willing to look at themselves in a new way. Who's willing to do that? I mean, I'm sure all of you are willing to do that. So Asa, please pick somebody out there for me and text it to me, and I'll pull up their chart and be ready to look at it. And the advantage of doing this is, I don't know, it's fun. It was a fun exercise, I thought, of all the exercises I've ever done of going in and looking at myself deeply. This was the most fun, right? It was the most fun because, first of all, I love words, and words always excite me. And it was the opportunity to see the words that are descriptors of who I am. So Asa, did you pick someone yet for me? Let me go on down. Corey says me. And Corey, do I have your birth information? Let's see. What is your last name, Corey? Corey. And da 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 da. Okay, Asa, I need your help. I need to find Corey. Or Christine Buckingham volunteered as well. So let's do that. Corey, please tell me your last name. And Corey, Christine, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel was first. Okay, so Debbie, let's take a look at you while I'm waiting for Corey's last name and birth information. And then Christine, I do have yours. Now I can't do this for a lot of people in these last few minutes here, guys. So let's just have some fun here for a few minutes. Where am I? Ugh. I'm about to throw this program out. Okay, so Debbie TT. You would think I had your chart right in front of me, but I do not. So I'm going to share my screen, Debbie, if that's okay with you, so that everybody can see the chart. And Debbie is a projector. I'm not even going to work with projector. Yes, I am going to work with projector, right? I am going to work with projector, because what I did for Asa when I did hers first is I put in the middle, her type was an initiator, right? Debbie, if I put your type in the middle, where's my favorite pens to use here? I'll use this one for now. Nope, I need to use purple. I'm going to put orchestrator, right? That's my first word that's going in the middle of the paper that I have for you. Orchestrator. Too bad my scented thick pens aren't here yet today. So Debbie as an orchestrator. Now I'm going to get my new codex out. I love that word, codex. And we're going to look at the conscious line sun and the conscious line earth, right? The personality sun, the personality earth. These are the words that I'm going to pull out here are going to be about your soul description, right? Your soul description. So if I look at the gate 27, it is called the gate of accountability, the ability to support, nurture, and lift others up. I love it. So the one next word I'm going to use is nurture and uplift others, but I'm just going to leave it as uplift. So here's what I did next. If you want to see how I'm doing this, right? Nurture and uplift as an orchestrator, right? Then your earth is in the gate 28, and the gate 28 is the gate of adventure and challenge. I love that. So to learn to share from your personal experience, your struggles, and your triumphs, to persevere and to know that the adventures in your life deepen your ability to transform life into a meaningful journey. to understand that your struggles help deepen the collective ideas about what is truly valuable and worthy of creating. So I'm going to put down a transformer. And I'm also going to put down adventures. Adventurer. Haha. So now I'm going to have to pull this back a little bit. Now you can see, like, I'm just putting the words randomly around the page. Now I'm going to go over here to your conscious, or your design, excuse me, sun and earth at 41 and 31. So if we look at 41, I can already tell you that's about imagination and creativity and starting from your imagination and building. So I'm going to put, this is the ability to use your creative imagination to generate ideas about new abundant opportunities in the world. To sustain these abundant visions, share them when necessary and use your imagination to break old patterns and limiting beliefs, to be able to hold the vision of a miracle that transcends expectations. I'm going to put that into miracle thinking. Now, you guys are free to change up whatever you see in your own thing, but I would imagine we'll see sort of the same thing. So miracle thinking and acting. Okay, then let's see the gate 31. That's a leadership gate. So let's look at the leadership aspect here, which is apropos for a projector, I might add. So then we have the leader. So I'm going to use orchestrator, leader, guide underneath the orchestrator word. So this is what we're building here, Debbie. Come back. Okay, so now 31. The ability to be able to listen, learn, hear, and serve the people you lead, and to assume and value your right leadership position as the voice for the people you are leading. So the voice for those you lead. All right. Now, just because in the interest of time, I'm just going to take the moon's placement, because the moon, I just think the moon is in a great place for you. It's in the gate that we call bliss or joy. And the moon in your human design is what drives you, right? It's what pushes you forward. And the gate 58 is called the joy of mastery. And it's to harness the joy of mastery and refine your practice until you reach the fulfillment of your potential. So it's the mastery is to live in the flow of joy. So I'm going to live joyfully. There we go. And the other side of the moon, the dark side of the moon, the design side of the moon is in the gate 32, which is on the spleen center, which might engender some fear having to get through these ideas and concepts of success or failure. It is called the gate of endurance. So it's about the awareness of what needs to be done in order to make a dream manifested reality, setting the stage, preparing, being ready, the patience and trust that once the stage is set, the timing will unfold as needed to serve the highest good of all, to translate divine inspiration into readiness. So I'm going to put leader, guide, and I had another word that I wanted to put there, but trust. Trust and serving the highest good. And I'm going to do that by an up arrow. There we go. Debbie, I'm going to stop sharing. And I'm going to go back to Zoom. Oh, I'm on Zoom. Here is your template. Try those on for size. I spelled transform wrong. Transform, because maybe it was supposed to be transformer and I just left off the R. Miracle thinking and acting, serving the higher good. As an orchestrator, you're a leader, you're a guide, you have to trust, You're the voice for those you lead, you nurture and uplift. You're also adventurer and living joyfully, as well as, did I already say the miracle, thinking and acting? Fun, right? All right, try that on for size, Debbie, and let's see what you think about that. And I will do one more. Who was next? That was going to be Corey. Did I get Corey's birth? Corey Sykes. Okay, Corey Sykes. Let's see if I can find you here. I just didn't know your last name, that's all, I think, because now you sound familiar. And Corey, there you are. And Corey is a generator. Let me share my screen so you all can see the chart that we're dealing with. And there you go. So Corey, this is your chart as a generator. We can also look at different things too. I could go to the profile and look at that. I could go to any one of the planets on any side. Basically what I do as I did this for myself is I just went from sun to earth to moon to north node. But literally you can do this with anything. Like in Aces and Debbie's, I went to the type and I didn't do that on my own. I didn't put that I was an alchemist. I could have done that too. So Corey, as we look at you, I'm going to put that you are a generator, which is called an alchemist. So I am going to put that in the middle. And so this becomes the basis from which we're going to build who you are, right? Alchemist right there in the center. And your sun is at 42 and 32, or the personality side is at 42, 32. So 42, it's a gate of conclusion. It's a gate of bringing everything into completion. So you're basically a closer, right? The ability to respond to being put into opportunities, experiences, and events that you have the wisdom to facilitate and complete. So I'm going to put down, you have completion wisdom. Okay. And then if we look at the gate 32, which is, I think we already read this one with Debbie, 32 is the gate of success or failure. We call it endurance. So I'm actually going to use that word for you since you have the sacral and the root center defined. These are energies that are highly enduring, perseverant, tenacious, and determined. So endurance, I think, is a key theme for you to completing something. So your completion wisdom and the earth at the gate 32 gives you the endurance, the perseverance to stay through to the completion of something, which is also called mastery. So I'm going to put mastery under alchemist here for you because that is a part of your experience as well. Now, if we look over at the design or the life purpose sun and earth, they are at 61 and 62. 61 is the gate of wonder and awe. Remember that as up here in the head center right here. And it is the gate where right now we have Pluto and Jupiter sitting, and they're in a conjunction there at that gate as we move further into the week. So the gate here is all about that wonder and awe that we feel. So I'll read that one to you a bit here. The ability to see purpose in a bigger perspective that transcends the smaller details of an experience or event. An ability to stay in a state of innocence and confidence as a way of sustaining powerful creativity. So I'm going to put mastery, and then I'm going to put sustainability. I could make art out of these, I think. And then I'm also going to put as part of that, seeing the bigger perspective. So I'm going to put bigger perspective, or the bigger picture. I could put bigger picture and perspective. All right, here's what yours is looking like so far. Might be harder to see because, yeah, there we go. I ordered these markers yesterday that I'm going to get today, and I can't wait. They're the scented markers so that they have thicker points so I can use them in my maps here. Now let's look at the gate 62, which is a gate of the details. Interesting, right? Because they seem to be like opposite sort of things. So the gate 62 is called preparation, the ability to be attuned to what is necessary to be prepared and to trust that your alignment will inform you of everything that you need, relaxing and knowing that you'll know what you need to know when you need to know it. So I'm going to put trust that inner knowing. And trust, I might underline that one for you, trust. And then if I look at your moon, which will be the last things that we look at here, it's at the gate 33 and the gate 8. Gate 33 is called retelling. So when I look at, because I think Asa, you also have this gate, it automatically clued me into the storyteller aspect and the storyteller, story keeper, even in that, what are you holding on to in terms of story? And what story do you keep retelling over and over again? And if you're carrying the energy of the storyteller, why not change the story? If you don't like the way the story's been, then change the story, right? Out of diversity or out of adversity came triumph. And yes, I had this, this, and this as an issue, but this is how I overcame it. And now my new story is that I can overcome anything. So the storyteller gate, the retelling, it's the ability to translate a personal experience into an empowering narrative that teaches and gives direction to others, finding the power from the pain, waiting for the right timing to transform or share a narrative so that it has the greatest impact on the heart of another. And so I'm going to put storyteller in right timing. Right? This is not you just going around telling everybody your story whenever you want to. This is the story being pulled out of you in right timing with the right people to gain the best impact in helping people move through that story. And the gate 8 is the gate of contribution. I love that gate 8. We call it fulfillment. So the gate of fulfillment to push the edges and boundaries of authentic self-expression and to realize that you being the full expression of your authentic self is your life purpose. Be authentic. Live authentic. There's your life purpose. The end. Finito, right? No need to go on. Let me finish the sentence though. To use your authentic expression to inspire others to fulfill themselves. So the last word I'm putting on your word map, Corey, is inspiring. There you have it. Stop sharing. There we go. Right? Oh gosh, there we go. That's what yours looks like. Now, if I were an artist, and that's a very big if, I would take these words and maybe I can scan them and email them to you, Debbie and Corey, and you can add art to it, right? You can even put it on another piece of paper yourself and make it artistic and put it up there in front of you and live from that. What do you guys think of this? Was it fun? I thought it was fun. I had fun doing it. So obviously you guys had fun hearing it. And I bet you there's a million of you out there wanting it for yourself. Corey just opened my publishing company. Woohoo! So there we have it. Asa, beautiful. Kathleen, satisfaction. Asa, I'm going backwards, so that should not be what I'm doing, but I am. You're welcome, Debbie. Ursula, go, Janet. The picture tells us 1,000 words. Indeed, right? Isn't it just like I don't know. It's just amazing to me that this came up and how we can do this. Kathleen Mallory says, on the vision board for 2021 to counter any negative self-talk. Ah, for you. Is that right, Kathleen? That's what you want to do, right? So maybe we'll do a couple of these a day so that everybody gets this opportunity until the new language is completely out there and everybody can have access to it. So in the grand scheme of things, it's this easy, right? To live from your purpose. You just have to, I would bet you, Debbie and Corey, there wasn't a word that I put down there that was new to you, right? That you hadn't already thought of as who you were or what you do. And that's the thing to keep out for, right? To watch out for, is that we all know, but we have so many other things coming at us from many different directions, the outer world conditioning us to believe that we're something we're not, or that we should be doing something differently, or that we should have, you know, accomplished XYZ by now in this time of our lives. And everybody's different here, right? Everybody's different. All right. Now that's really it for me today. Tomorrow is Wednesday. So we will also be talking about the 12th house. Finally, we've come to the end of our houses and the relationships of the areas of life that are ruled by the houses. So tomorrow we'll go into the 12th house, which is a pretty interesting place. And we'll talk more about what's up in the day. Tomorrow will be our 13th day in the Pleiadian calendar. So what are we completing? What are we about to ascend into as the next level? So anyway, that'll be our day tomorrow. Everyone, take care. Have a great day. I will see you in the morning.